The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 106 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I am Stephen Mill, he is Ewan Cameron. How you doing, Ewan?
I've had the best weekend I've had in a long, long time.
And why is that, Ewan?
It's such a brilliant Monday morning. Yes, I know we've had the wind and the wind was a pain in the ass, but it was the best weekend ever.
I mean, the best really weekend was. Ever.
Ever.
Ever. Because that's quite the statement, Ewan.
It was
because we know the sort of weekends you've had in hotel rooms in Dubai.
Correct. I mean, you're aware of all that.
Yeah.
But in regards to when it comes to football and the pain that I've been going through over the last number of months has been horrific. The stick that I've had to put up with on Twitter, on Facebook, in a train, walking through Waverley, going into Edinburgh, coming into Glasgow. Even when I was in Dundee last week, people in the hotel in Dundee laughing at me, yeah, giving me stick.
Hello to all you brilliant people, by the way.
I'd had enough of it.
We'd really appreciate you.
Well, now up you. Yeah. Up every single one of you.
Well, that's fine. I mean,
because today's a day where I have the last laugh.
I think that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, if you can dish it out, you have to take it as well.
Well, I'm taking it, and I've been taking it for a number of months.
Mm.
But here we are today. Hearts have picked up a fantastic victory at the weekend. There will be a happy dance, because I've not done one for how long? When was the last time I did a happy dance?
I mean,
It's a long time ago.
I mean,
it was like...
It's never long enough.
People like my happy dance.
I don't think they do. I think they're really creeped out by it, to be honest
with you. They're not creeped out by it. So I can confirm that I will be performing my happy dance when we talk about Hearts' victory against St Mirren. So that was a lovely start to the weekend. And then Liverpool beat Chelsea by 2 goals, because me and my boy are Liverpool fans. That was really good. So, yeah, I mean, it couldn't get any better. The worst part about the weekend, and I sent you on the group chat my coupon.
Mm, yeah. Listen, you don't need to talk to me about failed coupons after a couple of weeks ago.
I know.
With my 50 grand that I missed out on. By the way, I picked another winner at the weekend. So, in case you missed this, our group coupon, so there's me and five of my mates. We each put a fiver in every single week. We pick a team. Mm-hmm. So it's £30 going on six teams. And I think 3 weeks ago, we...
50 grand.
We were one team away from £50,000, which would have been £8,300 each. Because
does that still hurt?
I'm not going to say my mate's name, but his name's Lewis Donaldson, and he has been getting absolutely torn to shreds.
Still.
I mean, he owes us each £8,300, because he picked Montrose, who got beat by Annan. Montrose, who are on an absolutely brilliant run.
And they won at the weekend.
And not only that, they were the lowest priced team on the coupon, so we call him Low Price Lewis, obviously.
And he picked what was a certainty.
A certainty. And because he's so cautious about it, and
cost you 50 grand,
cost me 50 grand at the weekend. I picked Elgin City 1-3-1, great odds. They were 11-5.
Well, I had a great coupon run at the weekend as well. It was a 5-team accumulator, and I had Kilmarnock Rangers for a draw, and then Marley Watkins.
Your favourite, Marley Watkins, yeah.
So I sent Stephen in the group chat my bet, and I also had a little message across the coupon that says something quite derogatory.
About Marley Watkins.
It was basically F you, Marley Watkins.
And you would. You love him.
I love him as well.
You do love him.
He's a great wee player, and he's everything you'd want in a striker. He's robust, he's strong, he's physical, and he pops up with the winner against Rangers, and we'll get to that shortly.
We will get to that shortly.
Can we talk about what else we did at the weekend?
Yes, on you go. You got anything?
I have got something for you. Give me my music, please, mate.
Film recommendation.
Film recommendation. Netflix.
I've heard of it, yeah.
There's a documentary that's been out for 10 days. Outstanding documentary. It's about a correctional officer, a woman who runs a prison in the United States of America.
I've heard of that as well.
Yeah. Her name is Vicky,
mm-hmm,
and she falls in love with a man.
Okay.
Who is 6'7", and he has been charged with capital murder.
Peter Crouch is 6'7".
It's not him, though.
It's not Peter Crouch.
No. So... and she falls in love with this guy who is up for a capital murder charge,
mm-hmm,
looking at the death penalty, and she falls in love with him.
Okay.
And this is a documentary.
Is this not quite common?
No, because she works there. She's in charge. She's the boss.
I mean, I don't know anyone who works in a prison, if any prisoners are listening, or people who work in prisons. I think it's fairly common for prison officers to have wee things with prisoners. I mean, I know they shouldn't.
What? Well, I don't know. What is common is that people who are pen pals with prisoners fall in love and get married.
Exactly.
That's very common.
I'm not so sure with the officers.
I'm not sure that prison officers are having affairs. It might happen.
I don't think you say it might happen. It will happen.
Well, it does happen, but I don't think it happens as often as you expect it would happen.
Okay.
But this is a woman called Vicky, and she's worked at this prison facility for decades. She's loved, she's a great person, she's funny, she's all the staff love her, and all the staff are in this documentary talking about Vicky.
Can you just, for a single second, stop spoiling everything?
I'm not spoiling anything, because this documentary, they have got access to every phone call that the prisoner and Vicky ever made to each other.
Of course they will.
So there's phone sex.
Right.
Which is quite awkward to listen to. Because they play it all. I mean, they don't hide anything in this documentary.
Right.
They also show you how she was able to have her way with the prisoner in the prison.
Right.
So they show you that as well, how she sneaks into the cell. So she gets everybody else out the cell, and then she goes into the cell, and then you see her coming out and putting her clothes and whatnot. And it's a fascinating documentary.
And you've told us most of it.
No, so... because the title itself gives it away. It's called Jailbreak.
Right.
So, but I'm not going to tell you what happens. But it's called Jailbreak.
Right.
So she clearly tries to get him out.
Right. Aye.
And she's basically given up on her entire life, her family, her friends, and everything, because she's fallen in love with this guy who's charged with capital murder. And she's that much in love with him and besotted by him that she has decided to help him jailbreak. It's a fascinating. And this is proper behind the scenes, because every jail's got CCTV. So
it will do.
And
yeah.
You see her take him into the car, and it's amazing. So it's called Jailbreak. She falls in love with a prisoner who's up for a capital murder charge. It's a brilliant watch, very much one for the adults.
It sounds like it.
And
not a kid's
and
show.
Not one of yous, not you, not anybody. Don't Google it, don't research it, just go and watch it. You'll never guess in a million years what happens at the end. Nobody will guess it, because it shocked me.
Right.
Absolutely shocked me.
Okay, but again, I've pulled you up about this before. You have now given away that there's a shocking ending.
Well, isn't most TV shows and movies a shocking ending? Watch it. It's called Jailbreak. No. I think it's called Jailbreak Love Rat.
Right.
Hold on. God. Let me just
Let's
check.
Not involve the animals again after your chimp loving a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that's a common phrase, isn't it?
That all got a wee bit weird.
Oh, no, it's not called Jailbreak Love Rat.
What is that?
No, it's Love on the Run.
Love on the Run.
Jailbreak, Love on the Run.
Love on the
that's
Run.
That's the name of it. Where did I get Love Rat for? So that's the name of it. Go and watch it. Honestly, it's really good.
Into that.
Really good.
Right, okay.
Netflix.
Let's get to some of your feedback from last week. Paul, shouting haggis supper at the telly is getting me funny looks from the Wayne. So this was... you were trying to guess what I got for the chippy last week.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'll tell you at the end of the show. And then, to be fair, I only remembered because our producer, Scott, shouted in my ear saying, you've not told everyone what your supper is yet. And I literally did it as I was about to end the show. So
I watched it back. I think I named everything apart from a Scotch pie and a haggis.
So to be fair, one of my mates was like, I thought it was going to be a steak pie supper, because again, I hadn't said that. And I was like, you know, that's quite a good shout as well. Steak pie supper.
I've never had a good steak pie from a chippy.
They're not the best. I don't think steak pies should be generally deep fried.
Nah,
but
I don't like steak pies, and steak pies at a chippy always come out quite damp.
Aye.
You want a crispy pastry, but when it's in a chippy, it comes out.
To be fair, my haggis supper was a wee bit soggy.
You don't want a soggy sauce haggis supper?
No.
The long one.
I don't know if it had just been in the sort of container and that had made it, so the steam had made it go like, it was still tasty, but I prefer a spicy haggis supper.
What do you think of a white pudding?
Love a white pudding supper.
I can take it or leave it when it comes to a white pudding.
Like I wouldn't get a black pudding supper from the chippy because I think they go dry.
They do go very dry.
So
need a lot of sauce.
I don't want a black pudding supper from a chippy. I would have black pudding, but white pudding is tremendous.
So is it a white pudding or a haggis supper is the best? What is it?
Oh, that's a tough... I do like a white pudding
supper.
White
pudding first.
Basically what I said to my mum, right, because she was going to get it, I was like, just get whatever's ready. Because, you know, I can't be arsed waiting for a white pudding supper. So just get whatever's there. And she was like, there's a haggis supper there, so I just got that for you. And I was like, that's perfect.
What's happened to the good old days? I remember when I was a kid, and even in my teens and in my 20s and my 30s, you would go into a chippy and everything would be there ready for you. Nowadays, you go in and there's a couple of bits of fish sat in that thing with a glass.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else. And no, you'll go, can I have a sausage supper? Or like, that'll be 10, 15 minutes because they have to cook. What? But normally, remember you said now, have it all sitting there. The sausage should be sat there.
There are pros and cons to this, I would say. At least when you get it, it's fresh. Yeah, you need to wait for it, but it's freshly cooked.
But it's just too greasy.
It's piping hot.
But it's too greasy.
Well, you're going to the wrong chippy then.
It's too greasy. No, but if you're cooking it and then serving it straight up.
Don't go to a greasy chippy.
Well, they have to cook it in grease.
I know, but like some chippies are greasier than others.
Yeah, so I don't know why you have to wait nowadays. So I just like you, whatever's ready, just give me it.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait. Well. I don't want to wait 20 minutes for a fish.
I was going to go for a smoked sausage supper as well, which I do like.
Comes back on me. Whenever I burp, you taste it.
Aye, that is true.
Don't like that.
Yeah, that is true. That is tasty. Anyway, Ewan moaning about the guy watching the game on his phone definitely gives off the vibes who likes grassing rail passengers and the ticket examiners if they don't have a ticket. That's from McDonald.
I also tell
you ever you ever grass someone in for not having a ticket?
Aye.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Why?
I have grassed in somebody who jumps between the carriages and I'll say, there's a boy here jumping between the carriages.
Why would you even do that? Why or admit
not?
To that?
Why not? I also tell people off for putting their feet up on the chair.
Fine. But you grass other people in for not having a ticket.
I've paid my way. Pay your way.
Oh my God.
No.
You have gone. I mean, no. I didn't think you could go further down in my estimations,
no.
You really have.
I hate people who take the piss like that. I don't like that at all in any way, shape or form. See, there's kids jumping about the train. I tell them off. Sit down, calm down.
Really?
Aye.
No, you don't.
I do.
You don't.
I got involved in a situation at St. James Quarter last weekend.
I know you did, and you've explained
this. But I'm not going to tell that story, yeah.
But that's totally different. That's totally different.
No, but if I think there's a wrong...
But what does it matter to you that someone else hasn't paid their ticket? What does it matter?
Because, no, but that they're at it. They're at it. I don't like...
People would say that you've been at it for years.
Yeah, well, I have.
So
I'm still here.
How come you're not allowed to be at it for years?
I don't like people taking advantage of other people.
They're not taking advantage of other people.
Well, they are. They're taking advantage of the train, the guy who's doing his job. I don't like kids.
For example,
I have found myself going, if kids are really cheeky to the ticket guy or the ticket woman, I'll say something.
Right, no,
if they're shouty or mouthy, drunk, I'll say something.
Let me
I told you another story about a boy who was sat behind me shouting and singing songs that shouldn't have done it. Remember the one next to the girl?
Fine.
And
that's All fine, no problems with that. But grassing somebody in for not having a ticket.
It's not grassing.
It is grassing.
It's not grassing.
It is grassing.
Well, I'll let the people listening and watching decide.
Oh, I think
that's not grassing.
I think I'm very much in the majority here.
Do you think you are?
100%.
Nah. No.
100%. So, wait the night. Like, the conductor, fair enough if they come up and the person's been arsey with them about not having a ticket.
But
the conductor just gives them a ticket. Like, I've done that loads of times. When a conductor's come up to me and he's like, where's your ticket? I was like, I need to buy one.
No, I've been on many a train. I've used trains a lot over the last 20 years since I came back from the Middle East. And it's the people who are hiding and jumping between the carriages. So
right.
if the train conductor walks
past
and comes back and comes back,
what's the matter to you?
And then when they walk past, I go, by the way, they've not got a ticket, they've been hiding from you as he walks past on the way back.
If I was the ticket conductor, I'd be like,
No, they love it. They love it because what happens is they hide, train conductor goes down, and then what they do is they come back, and when they come back, that's when I point them out because the train conductor thinks he's already picked up the ticket.
That is absolutely low-life behaviour.
It's not low-life behaviour.
It's low-life behaviour.
Those cheating gits there, they were hiding from you when you walked through, and when now you've come back, get them their ticket. Boom. Where you going, mate?
I'm going to Shettleston. Right. £4.50.
And then they pay their ticket?
Yeah, but they were hiding to begin with.
So? So what?
Not when I'm around. Pay your way.
At least you know if, you know, time does catch up with you and you're not on the radio anymore, you can at least be a traffic warden because you're absolutely made out for.
Nah, not at all.
Something like
not
that.
At all. I'm a man of the people.
Yeah, but if you're a man of the people, you wouldn't be pointing people out.
Why not? You got to pay your way. I pay my way. Do you like cheats?
I think this is slightly different.
It's not. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's like your wife having an affair. You don't make excuses for that.
You're comparing not paying for a ticket on a ScotRail service to your wife having an affair. I don't think so, Ewan. I don't think so.
You'd want me to tell you, and I'd want you to tell me, if my wife was having an affair with somebody,
as I've just quite clearly outlined...
Would you tell me?
There's levels to this.
No, there's levels to this. Would you tell me?
If your wife was having an affair,
Say my wife was having an affair with Gary Spence.
Right, okay. Right.
Now, that's a really awkward position to be in.
Yeah.
Or if Kat was having an affair with me.
Right.
Would you tell my wife if Kat was having an affair with me?
I don't know.
See?
I don't know.
But you would.
I don't know if you would, though. I don't know if you would. I certainly wouldn't.
Well, okay, would you...
But again, this is completely different from not paying for a ticket on a ScotRail train.
It's cheating.
It's...
You're cheating the system.
Many would argue...
You're cheating the system.
Many would argue that the rail system has been cheating us for years.
I don't disagree with that. The price hike that's went up recently is a pain in the arse.
Yes.
A return from Pullman to Edinburgh, £11.30. That's fucking scandalous. So if I'm paying £11.30, you're fucking paying £11.30 because I'm not going
to... So we should just drag everyone down and then they make more money, yeah?
I'm not... See, what I'm saying is...
Drag everyone down to their level.
No, you're saying there's levels to cheating. You're either a cheating or you're not a cheater. There's no levels to cheating. Cheating is cheating. Cheating is cheating. That's the line. That's what this podcast should be entitled. Cheating is cheating.
We'll move on.
And if you're trying to dodge a train fare,
good luck with that.
Then you're cheating. If his missus was having an affair with me, I mean, I'm not going to tell him. But if somebody knew about it, you would expect that person to tell you. That's what I'm getting at. You don't protect the cheater.
Colin says, when Ewan passes, can you release the unedited audio of Overrated Underrated?
All right.
That's the only way. Ewan will have to die for that to happen.
Totally.
Christopher says, well done on the quiz win, Stephen. Thank you very much. Natural order has been restored. You've done your family and your fans proud. Thank you very much, Chris.
Who's that?
Christopher. P.S. Did anyone else think that Ewan said about stuff coming out of him after he died is when someone checked his hard drive, confirming he was indeed a Rangers fan? Ryan says, you will
see on my hard drive.
You will see on my hard drive many
pictures of me and the former Rangers owner, David Murray. You will also find audio and video of myself and David Murray. You will find lots of video and audio of me and Walter Smith and Steven Gerrard. So I'm not hiding anything. I do have lots of audio pictures from my time in radio with lots of Rangers people over the years. Even David Edgar, who runs the... Is it Heart and Hand?
Yeah.
So I've got pictures of him and audio of him.
Right, okay. Well, we don't need to go through all the pictures that you've got on your hard drive. That's fine. Ryan says, can I just say, as a Blackpool fan, Critchley at Hearts, ha ha, ha 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 ha, ha 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 ha, ha 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 ha, brilliant. Be warned, if Lauren Shankland, for example, is on a hat-trick, he won't get it because he'll be subbed. 3-5-2, boring football, players played in the wrong position, so yeah, good luck. You can come back to that in a minute.
He played a 4-2-4 at the weekend.
KGM says, is Ewan Cameron the bear out of Bo Selecta? I can't get the vision out of my head.
Why is he saying that?
Don't know.
The bear out of Bo Selecta?
He's watching the football and munching on nuts in the bath.
Oh yeah, what's wrong with that?
Pablo says, 18 minutes of carry-out discussion, never has being bored made more dull. Thank you, Pablo. Could try and write in sentences next week, that'd be great. David says, since Stephen was talking about how to make fried eggs and Ewan can't make rice, maybe they should watch Chef's Table Noodles on Netflix. I have seen that, actually. By the way, the amount of people who have said the egg thing
works. I've tried it.
It's amazing.
It works.
It actually works.
It really works.
I was in the pub on Saturday night and somebody came up and told me they tried it.
So it works. It works a treat. The wee bit of water and you put the lid on top of the fat pan. Amazing.
Great.
I found something talking of food. I found, I think they're from Malaysia, Yum Yum Noodles.
Yum Yum Noodles? Okay.
I found this thing called Yum Yum Noodles. Now, I don't think your Tesco's and all that are selling it. I found it in an Arabic shop in Falkirk. get yum. There's another recommendation for you when you're watching the jailbreak thing.
Yum yum noodles. You'll get them online. You'll be able to buy them.
You get them on Amazon and that. I've ordered 36.
36 yum yum noodles. Individual noodles or packets? A box.
With cups.
Right.
A cup. It's like cups, like pot noodle.
Not, you've not ordered 36 individual just noodles.
No. Okay. 36 cups, chicken flavour. Look.
Do you know these instant noodles, right?
Pot noodles pish in comparison to the things I've just found.
I'm sure I'm right in saying, I don't know if it was the Second World War or the Korean War, they basically made these sort of packs of noodles where you just have to add boiling water, basically, for the troops during the war, so that they were really high in
protein and all that.
They would fill you up, and that's how they made them. They were a sort of war invention.
And that's how it came about, which is why we have the noodles we have today in cups, etc., etc.
Yum, yum noodles.
Yeah.
Mark says, this is a review of the week. Gents, 100% listener, just listened to 105 whilst listening on the beach in Kos. Brilliant again. Wife wanted to punch my face because of the laughing. Got to agree. I like you, and I always thought Parky was a ball bag. Keep up the good work. Yeah, we've had a few other celebrity stories as well, one including John Motson.
He's no longer with us.
He's dead as well.
So we can talk about it.
According to this person, supposedly a bit of a horror.
John Motson.
Yeah.
He
said something else, which I'm not going to say, but I've heard the same thing.
I met John Motson. I was in Manchester a number of years ago you can Google this for me, Stephen, because then I'll know what the year is. What was the name of the band? They'd made a comeback in Manchester.
Stone Roses.
Yes. So I went to see Stone Roses in Manchester. What was the name of that park again? Heaton Park?
Heaton Park, and it was...
What year was that?
220,000 people. 2012, according to this?
Aye, that's it. Aye, that'll be right, yeah. So, yeah, 12 years ago. So I was there for that, and we were staying in a hotel in Media City.
Yes,
in Manchester. And you do see quite a few familiar faces in Salford. Well, because
there's a lot of BBC stuff comes out there, yeah.
And I was sat in the bar with a couple of pals, and Kat was there, who I worked with on the breakfast show, and John Motson was stood at the end of the bar, and he'd clearly been eating something before he was stood at the end of the bar, and he was a wee bit worse for wear, but you could kind of have an idea of what he'd been eating, because he had gravy stains all the way down his shirt, like a drip drop of gravy stains. I mean, literally, I mean, his shirt was like covered in gravy stains, but he didn't give a toss. He's a bit worse for wear, and he had that thing you have with the red wine around your lips.
Oh, yeah.
That, do you know that, when you drink quite a bit of red wine?
Yep.
And I went up and said hello.
What did he say?
Hiya. And then I went out.
And that was the extent of the conversation?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you've got really sort of neutral opinion on John Motson?
No, I just noticed he had stains on his shirt.
Aye, and he said hiya to you, and that was it?
Yeah. I mean, what else was he going to say?
How are you?
No, it was just hello. Because I went to the bar to order something. I just went, hello. He went, hello. And that was it. And I picked up my order and left.
Cool. That's a really good story. Thanks for telling us that. Right, big stories from the week. Let's touch a wee bit on Scotland. Getting a point with Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo acting like a giant baby.
Deserved the draw.
Deserved the draw, I thought.
Yeah, we were very good. Kenny McLean was outstanding. Ralston was great right back. Shea Adams was good. Thought we got closer to the strikers. We created chances. I think McTominay's got to score that.
Yeah.
First 10 minutes, great cross.
Yeah, and then the one in the second half, obviously, I think if he'd maybe thrown himself at it, he might have got it.
It reminded me of Gaza versus Germany in the semi-finals at Wembley.
Gaza threw himself at it. It was like McTominay didn't even go down. I was at the other end of the pitch. There was also in the second half, Adams could have gone himself instead of heading it back across the goal. I know what he was trying to do, but I thought he was in a decent position to score. I thought the last 5-10 minutes, I did think Portugal are going to get a goal here because there was a lot of pressure.
What about that save for Gordon?
Great save for Gordon. Great block for Devlin as well, who, by the way, brilliant that he got on, got his cap. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite the turnaround. If somebody had said to you, Ewan Cameron, 3 months ago, that you'd be no longer Clark out, I think that you wouldn't have believed them.
No, and I can't believe myself. But again, I'm a stand-up guy, and I call it as I see it. And I can see that we are on the right track.
So you agree with Clark? You think we're on the right track?
100%. We're playing decent football and we're creating chances against some of the biggest nations on the planet. So for me, that's good enough. And we're losing by the odd goal, and we picked up a point the other night there. We're not getting hammered. We're not getting obliterated. We're not getting overplayed. So I can see progress, so he gets my support.
And what I would also point out as well, and you know this as well, there's a lot of players missing for that team who would probably be regular starters. Aaron Hickey, Nathan Patterson, Kieran Tierney, Lewis Ferguson probably would be a starter nowadays, John McGinn. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of players missing the other night. And, yeah. and just, by the way, another special word for Kenny McLean. I thought he was outstanding.
He was brilliant. He's come in to fill that gap that Callum McGregor's left behind.
And by the way, I know John Souter got the man of the match, and he did have a great game. But I thought Kenny McLean was absolutely outstanding.
Kenny McLean, I thought Ralston again, solid. I thought he was great in Portugal for the game in Lisbon. He was outstanding the other night there at Hampden. Look, I know he's not getting a game at Celtic, but when he puts on that Scotland jersey, he gives 100%. And I thought he was superb. And that's why I'm picking out players like Ralston, because they've got a hard time of it recently, and he didn't have the best of Euros, but I mean, nobody had the best of Euros. But he's playing in a position he knows, and he's a 100% committed defender. He gives it his all, and I thought he was really, really good. So for me, Anthony Ralston was outstanding. Kenny McLean, John Souter. I thought the whole team were great. Yeah. Billy Gilmore does what he does, which is brilliant. I was also delighted to see that Billy Gilmore and Scott McTominay started in Napoli's win against Calgary yesterday by a goal to nil away from home. They're top of the league.
They played the full 90 minutes.
So well done.
Elsewhere, obviously Hearts appointed their new manager. We'll get to that in a second. Obviously Inverness look like they're about to go into administration either today or tomorrow. Duncan Ferguson saying after the game on Saturday, after they beat Annan, that he expects to leave as well.
Sad.
Hopefully they can get themselves out of that. We had a Inverness podcaster, Stevie, on earlier on this season, and not looking great, afraid. And Ryan Kent has had his contract terminated by Jose Mourinho and Fenerbahce.
Rumours are circulating he might turn up at Ibrox.
I mean, you'll have to wait till January, presumably.
I know, but he's a free agent.
Yeah.
The rumours are circulating. Could it happen?
I don't know.
Who else is going to want him?
A championship team, probably, I would imagine.
It'll be interesting to see, but the rumours are circulating already. Would Rangers fans want him back?
I've got no... Well, I mean, they'd take him, I would imagine, at the moment. Right, let's get on to the weekend's football then. And we'll start with the big game on Saturday, which was Celtic versus Aberdeen, first versus second. What a game it was at Parkhead. Really glad it was on the telly. Anyway, so Celtic obviously started really well. A couple of quick-fire goals, Hatate and Kyogo. And I think at that point we were doing the big Saturday football show and we'd said, you know, I mean, that's it. It's a question of how many this is going to be at this stage. However, a couple of half-time subs by Jimmy Tilleen and they paid off almost immediately. Sockler scores in the 50th minute. Shinny equalises in the 60th minute. And then, obviously, we'll get to the VAR WTF stuff in just a wee second. But if somebody had said to any Aberdeen fan before kickoff on Saturday, you'll get a draw, they'd have absolutely snapped your entire arm off for it.
We were in shock. Nobody expected that. I don't even think the most diehard of Aberdeen fans would have expected that, especially at halftime. When you're 2-0 down, we were talking about damage limitation. For Aberdeen in that second half, not to get beat too heavily so it doesn't affect their confidence looking forward to their next big games against Dundee United and Rangers. But to come back the way they did, and they had a brilliant first 50 minutes to that second half. Like, we all know that Celtic created a number of chances. They had all the possession. Mitov had a great game, defended heroically. But they deserved their draw. I know Celtic fans will go, how can they deserve the draw when they were battered? And they were battered in stages in that game. But when you look at the players that Aberdeen have got, you look at the players that Celtic have got, you look at the budgets that both squads are playing with, the money that Celtic have spent on players in the last number of years.
Celtic, their accounts came out this morning, which make great reading if you're a Celtic fan. Obviously, a really well-run business. Celtic have spent more than £100 million on players in the last 4 years.
On players?
On players.
That have come into Celtic?
Yeah.
£100 million?
Yes.
Well, that's why Aberdeen's draw makes it even better.
Mm-hmm.
It was I thought Aberdeen were brilliant, and what I liked about Aberdeen was their bravery. They did some analysis on Sports Scene, and I thought Neil McCann was very good at his analysis. Aberdeen, at every opportunity they got the ball, it was to go forward. And there were four players in attack. And I think Celtic were spooked by that. I think Celtic are not used to having a team have a go at Parkhead.
So I saw a tweet yesterday from E. Timsnet. Mm-hmm. And it says, we can't have people complaining we need more competitive games in the league than whinging when we get one. I, disappointed in losing two goals, take a step back for a second. An outstanding game of football at 3 p.m. on a Saturday in front of 60,000 fans. Magic. That's what it's all about.
And spot on. Brilliant. We need more fans like him. I thought it was a fantastic advert for Scottish football, and it is a shame it wasn't on the TV for the world to see, because it was that good a game. It's the best game of the season. It was outstanding. It had everything in it. Massive talking points, good goals. Celtic's two goals were great. I know there was a mistake for the second one, but the first goal was a really good goal. I just thought it was a great game all round. And see Jamie McGrath's pass into Sokler. Mm-hmm. See if that's Messi, or if that's Ronaldo, or if that's Hatate. We're raving about it for weeks and months on end. It's in highlight reels. That little kind of like daisy cutter, like kind of half volley, mm-hmm. passed through. I mean, it was inch perfect. Took Scales out the game. Sokler runs onto it. Brilliant finish. What a player that Jamie McGrath. He was all over the pitch. So they moved him in one. He was out wide. Then at halftime, he moved him into the middle of the park. And what a difference he made. He's got energy about him. He's got a pass. And he creates that goal, and then when that goal goes in, their tails are up, and then it was Aberdeen that were going to score the second goal. They were going to get the next goal because their tails were up. And then after they get to 2-2, Celtic create a number of chances, and then obviously they get the third Aberdeen, which gets chopped off. We'll get to that. Celtic then score. That gets chopped off. I just loved it. I thought it was a fantastic game of football.
Yeah, and where does this leave us then? Because obviously there was a lot of chat from yourself and probably me included as well about Aberdeen having an easy start to the season, or not an easy start to the season, easier start to the season mm-hmm. Than some other teams. But they've gone to the hardest fixture
that they could have had.
And totally. They've gone and got a point.
Four points against Hearts and Celtic in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
These are teams that were miles ahead on last season. They've picked up 4 points.
Dundee United, who will obviously be bouncing after their result, which we'll get to in just a wee second. And then they've got Rangers in midweek. Both at Pittodrie. Now, would you bet against Aberdeen getting 6 points from those matches?
I said a couple of weeks ago before the Hearts game that I think that Rangers will struggle to finish second. I think there's a battle there.
Do you think there's a battle for first?
I think Celtic got too much quality, and they'll run away with it eventually. Aberdeen have to, at some point, everyone hits the buff, hits that, what's that word I'm looking for?
It hits the buffers.
The buffers. Happens to Man City. It happens to Real Madrid. It happens to Bayern Munich. It does happen. So it's going to happen for Aberdeen. But as long as they're in the race, it's fantastic. And I want them to stay in the race for as long as they can. Can I just say to the people of Sky Sports News that I was watching yesterday, they were banging on about Rangers getting beat and how they missed the chance to close the gap on Celtic. It's not just Celtic. This is what fucking hate about the media. It's Aberdeen are in the race. It's not closing the gap on Celtic. They've missed the chance to close the gap on Celtic and Aberdeen. They are both at the top of the table. They've both got the same amount of points and wins and draws. Every single time I watched Sky Sports News yesterday, it was a picture of Butland looking miserable and them saying, Rangers missed a chance to close the gap on Celtic. No, they missed a chance to close the gap on Celtic and Aberdeen. Get it right. Sky Sports, I'm talking to you.
Okay, Celtic 2, Aberdeen 2. Obviously, Celtic in action in the Champions League against Atalanta. Atlanta won yesterday.
2-0.
Last I checked, anyway.
They were good. I watched the highlights.
It's the early kickoff on Wednesday. Going to be a tough evening, I suspect.
Well, Atalanta have already lost 3 games this season, so they've been up and down. Recently, they've been good, and they've got a really good draw against Arsenal in game day one.
And they're also the Europa Champions League holders as well.
Yeah. Listen, if Brendan Rodgers doesn't tweak it and goes in with the same attitude that he did with Borussia Dortmund, they're going to lose by four. They'll lose by four. He can't go in and not offer protection to Trustate and to Scales. I don't know if Vickers will be back. Will he be back? Do we know?
Don't think so.
But Trustate looks spooked against Sokler at the weekend. And listen, the boy might have potential and he might have a big future at Celtic in the years to come, but don't hang him out to dry the way that you did against Borussia Dortmund. If you do that, you're going to get pumped again. And the thing is, though, Celtic can't afford to get pumped again. So you lose to Dortmund, 7. You then struggle to beat Ross County. When I say struggle, they deserve to win, but it was last minute mm-hmm. when they won it. And then they draw with Aberdeen. They kind of now go into this game and get pumped again. Because Celtic fans are going, hold on, what's going on here? So he needs to tweak it and give protection to that back four.
Okay, then. We'll get to the Rangers game in just a wee bit, obviously, because that was yesterday. But we'll stick with the Saturday matches for now. And let's move on to Tynecastle.
Oh.
Where it was Hearts 4, St Mirren 0. So, comfortable victory.
Mm-hmm.
You've already mentioned you're pleased that he basically went 4-4-2, 4-2-4.
4-2-4.
Neil Critchley.
Amazing. It was just amazing.
A perfect start.
The performance was outstanding. That first goal, Shanklin's little flick into Vargas, amazing. Penrice down the left, he's my pal, and everyone will think, are you just saying that because you're biased, because you know his mum, and you know the boy. The boy was outstanding down the left side.
I was just going to say,
Blair Spittle.
I was
amazing.
Going to ask you about Blair Spittle. He looks to be becoming a very, very important player for us.
Because he's getting played in the position he should be played in. Naismith, clueless. That's why he's out the door, because he's clueless. Spittle was outstanding. Is Spittle a possible Scotland player?
I think he keeps playing really well. I don't see why.
Goals are good, creates chances. So can I just remove my top and perform my happy dance?
Do you have to remove your top?
I have to remove my top.
Why do you have to remove your top? What you got on underneath it?
Can we go at the wide shot, please? Thank you. I've just got my wee heart's top on. See that? Look at that.
Right, just get on with it.
My anniversary Hearts jersey. So just throw that over there. Move the chair out of the way. It's been such a long time. I mean, it's months since I've done a happy dance.
You probably have to do some stretching, actually.
Do you think I need to do a stretch?
Well, if you've not done it in so long.
Because I got cramped the other week there doing
the
quiz.
You did get cramped doing the quiz, which was bizarre.
When I bent down because... did you hear that creak?
I did hear that, yeah.
That was my knee. That was my knee creaking. So I'm happy you said do some stretches.
That's why you do your stretches and your warm-ups.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Just stretching the calves and the thighs.
Is this what your wife sees?
Yeah.
And hears.
Right, get my music ready, mate. Away up in Gorgie in Tynecastle Park. There's a wee purple team and makes its mark. Come on, Steve. One of the footballing art. Sing it! H-E-A-R-T-S. If you can't spell it, then here's what it says. Heart, heart, glorious heart. It's down at Tynecastle they bite. Thank you. Thank you. And I'll be doing another happy dance next Monday when we the Hibs.
Yes, the Edinburgh Derby on Sunday as well. Let's move on to Hibs, actually. I mean, what a shambles.
Oh,
they were leading 2-1.
I feel sorry for David Gray.
Until the 92nd minute.
I actually feel sorry for David Gray because I don't think they're playing that badly. He's just been really unlucky.
And Dundee
how many
United,
late goals have they lost?
Loads. And then obviously two very, very late goals for Dundee United means that they get all 3 points. Jim Goodwin running on the pitch, falling over. United up to fourth, only a point behind Rangers now. And Hibs are now bottom of the table on goal difference.
Big game.
That's a huge game on Sunday.
The bottom two. Now, if I'd said to you at the start of the season, when we get to the first Edinburgh Derby, there'll be the two bottom clubs, you'd have laughed at me. So yep. We've got the bottom two going up against each other on Sunday at Easter Road. What a game that is. I've been invited along.
Have you?
I might go.
All right. That's good.
But I genuinely do feel sorry for David Gray. How unfit am I that I'm out of breath like this for doing a wee happy dance?
It's just as well. Hearts have barely won a game this season.
Well, that's why I'm so unfit, because I've not been dancing that much.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah.
I do feel sorry for David Gray because I've watched a bit of Hibs this season and they have played well, and they've played well in quite a lot of the games. Joe Newell, what is he thinking? Again, we're going to get to that in VAR, WTF, but what is he fucking thinking with those challenges? For two yellows, they're cruising at 2-1. They're winning the game. And then once you get that send off in 85th minute, Dundee United's tails are up.
Absolutely faulty bits. And also it means that Joe Neal's going to be missing for Sunday as well now, who I think is a...
huge.
He's an experienced player.
Club captain.
Could be doing with him. Yeah, exactly. Very silly. Right, so Dundee United going great guns. Fourth in the table, as I mentioned, only a point behind Rangers now.
Can I just say, this is what Scottish football's all about. I think we've been lucky this season. There's been a lot of really good games. There's been a lot of late goals. There's been a lot of drama. But if you get the chance to watch back... the third goal for Dundee United, not Jim Goodwin, but okay, the fans running at the pitch,
yeah.
But there's a camera angle behind the player who takes a shot that loops into the goal,
yeah.
And it's the Dundee United fans behind the goal. Just watch those kids' faces. There's loads of kids stood there. Just watch those kids' faces as that goal goes in. It's a joy to behold. That's what football's all about. Mums and dads and kids are all in that end and they are gone absolutely berserk. I kept rewinding it and watching it. It was such a joy.
There's another one that's obviously taken for the Hibs end as well that's really good, and you can see, like, you know, it's great.
I mean,
an absolutely incredible feeling scoring two goals in stoppage time and winning.
Limbs galore.
Absolutely. Dundee getting a win on Saturday, a much-needed win against Motherwell. Lyle Cameron with the only goal of the game, so Dundee up to sixth. They had a wee bit of wobble lately, and I think they'd used the international break as a wee bit of a reset, because I was saying this in the Big Saturday football show. Prior to Saturday, I think only Aberdeen and Celtic had scored more goals than Dundee.
Yeah.
In the league. However, they'd conceded loads of goals as well. So it was obviously, that's where the problem was. So clean sheet on Saturday for Tony Docherty and Dundee up to sixth in the table. Motherwell remain fifth.
Well, but see Motherwell,
4 points ahead.
See Motherwell before the international break, they were on a really good run. So that international break came at the wrong time for them. And Kettlewell alluded to that in his after-match interview.
I always think that's a rubbish excuse because, like, you know the international break's coming. There's nothing you can do about it.
No, so. True. However, you'll be kicking yourself. If they'd won that game, they're level in points for Rangers.
Yeah.
Think about that. They're level in points for Rangers had they won that game, and they were actually favourites to win it as well, so they missed an opportunity there.
St Johnston beating Ross County by 3-0. Kempioka with a couple of goals. Kirk as well. So Simo Vallecari had to watch for the stands problems with his work permit and stuff like that as well. So hopefully that's resolved soon from a St Johnston point of view. And that means they are up to ninth in the table, level in points with Ross County now. I would still expect probably both St Johnstone and Ross County to be down around there come the end of the season, but really disappointing for County. Two men sent off as well, which is obviously far from ideal.
See the boy Sidibe?
Mm-hmm.
He's better than St Johnstone.
You think?
He shouldn't be. Again, no disrespect to St Johnstone, but that boy's a handful. He'll find himself at a better club sooner rather than later. I think he's that good.
Okay, let's move on to the Rangers game yesterday. So it finished Kilmarnock 1 Rangers 0. Marley Watkins with an 87th minute winner. And Rangers struggled pretty much all day. They had a lot of possession, but really only one shot.
They were shite.
And
they were absolutely shite.
A really poor performance. Kilmarnock, I thought, played well. Obviously, they won before the international break against Dundee, again coming and scoring those two late goals and managing to win 3-2. So they were coming into it with a wee bit of confidence, and it feels like Kilmarnock's season's properly started now after their early sort of troubles in the league because they had all their European stuff.
Here's a good stat that Crocker mentioned on the commentary yesterday. They were only 1 point worse off from this time last season, and what a season Kilmarnock ended up having, finishing fourth.
Interesting.
So they weren't really in a bad position in comparison to last year. It turns out with that victory yesterday, they're now in a better position than they were last season at this time.
Also, you'll have seen this on social media, I'm sure. Rangers have scored one goal away from home this season.
Bottom of the table. Bottom of the table.
I think same as Ross County.
Bottom of the table. And you look at the problems that Hearts and Hibs and other teams are having, and Rangers find themselves at the bottom of the table for goals scored away from home.
They failed to score in three of the last eight games,
which
is pretty poor as well.
Yeah, we said at the start of the season, we got a bit of stick for this, you and I, for saying that Clement would probably be one of the first managers to be sacked.
I said he'd be away by Halloween. Now,
we both agreed on that.
It just so happens that they play Aberdeen on the 30th of October.
Yeah. Now, we both said that. We both said that. Who's our, when we were doing our predictions, who's the first manager to get the chop? Now, obviously, Naismith has been that manager, but we still believed that he would be gone before Christmas and before Halloween.
And I think we got a lot of stick as well, because obviously he went and signed that new contract.
Aye.
And we both said, but that doesn't matter.
It means nothing.
Because if Rangers continue to play as poorly as they have been doing and not winning matches, then he has to go.
Then I go into follow to check out what the fans are saying.
Jambo Bear.
I don't have a sign-in, because you can go in there for free.
Right, okay.
Before, when I worked on the Real Radio Football phone,
you had a sign-in.
You had to sign in. So I had to make up an email.
Jambo Bear at...
No, I wasn't Jambo Bear.
Hotmail.com.
I don't know. No.
Jambo Bear at Yahoo.
I'll tell you what I was called, right? So you started...
People could go back and look.
Yeah, but I wasn't writing anything.
All right, okay.
I wasn't writing anything. I just signed up. I wasn't.
Were you, though?
No. So what I was on Jambo's kickback was Jambo through and through.
Right.
So I was Rangers through and through.
Right. Okay.
And then on Hibs, I was Hibs through and through.
Right. Okay.
And Celtic through and through.
Okay.
So that's.
So if you want to go back and search the forums.
I'm not written anything. I never got involved.
You were a lurker.
I was a lurker. Because what you wanted to do when you hosted the football phone was have an idea of what the fans were thinking. So obviously I went on to follow to have a wee look at what...
I think that's perfectly reasonable.
What the Rangers fans were saying. And guess what, Stephen? They're now in agreement with us.
That they want Clement gone?
They want Clement gone. They don't want Clement. They think he's this, they think he's that, they think he's shit, they think he's pish, he's not good enough, he's clueless.
I know you can't unring a bell, but, you know, it's looking increasingly mental that they sacked Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He won a Scottish Cup, got them to a European final.
Was it 4 months later they got...
And 4 months later he was sacked. Michael Beale obviously was doing the rounds beforehand.
Lurking.
He was lurking, but with intent. Michael Beale comes in, disaster. Clement, fair enough, started pretty well. I think he won 9 out of his first 10 games or whatever it was. Won the League Cup. However, nowhere near it Do you know what I noticed as well? Celtic's results came out this morning, financial results. I can't remember what the wage bill is, but it was up 5 million or something like that. But the year before that, for the financial year 2022-23, Rangers had a bigger wage bill than Celtic.
Did they?
Yes.
Did they?
Yes. Now, I don't think that will be the case this season.
No,
I think
even then, you're telling me that is it?
Rangers had a bigger wage bill than Celtic for season 2022-2023.
And here's something I want to read out. And I saw it on the Super Scoreboard Twitter yesterday. I actually took a screen grab of it.
Okay.
And the screen grab was this. Hold on a wee second. I need to signal my glasses because I can't see.
Yeah, because you can't see.
So I was on the Super Scoreboard Twitter account and I screen grabbed this thing. Where is it? And it was... Oh, where is it, Stephen?
I've got no idea, mate, because I'm not access to your phone.
Got it, here it is. Right, so this is what Clement said. There's a lot of potential in the squad, much more potential than people see maybe for the moment. Well, if that is the case, let's assume for a second that what Clement says there is true, that this group of players, this squad of players has huge potential and it's got more potential than what people can see. If that is true, you're the problem. You've just admitted to you being the problem because you're not getting the potential out of this players then. Your system, the team that you pick, et cetera. He's saying there's a huge potential in the squad. Mate, you're the problem, not the squad. If that's true, you're the problem. And I think we're both probably going to be right here. If Rangers, a week on Wednesday, lose to Aberdeen at Pittodrie, potentially to go 9 behind Aberdeen, Clement will not see the next weekend. You'll be gone.
I think, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just looking at the squad as well. The team that started yesterday. Fair enough. Connor Barron, Diamandé.
I like Barron.
Bajrami, 25, 26. The rest of the team, though. Tavernier in his 30s, Lawrence in his 30s, Dessers 29, Cherny's 27. Yeah. I mean, I don't think you're talking potential. Proper is 31. Suter, how old is Suter now? Suter will be late 20s. He's 28. You know, so it's not as if he's playing kids here.
No.
Like, these are all
It's him. He's the problem.
These are all seasoned professionals that he's got here. And
Stephen,
they're not performing at all.
Clement is the problem.
And even then, like, Proper goes off, obviously, and he brings on Balogun,
who's 35.
Exactly. That's not potential. That's plugging a gap.
Listen, he's trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the Rangers support, and they're no daft. The Rangers fans can see what they see, and they hear the nonsense that comes out of his mouth. Do you know what he's turning out to be? He's turning out to be a wee bit like Paul Le Guin, who turned into an embarrassment. And he didn't last very long at Rangers. And I was there at the time when Paul Le Guin was in charge. It was a joke. And I think Clement is turning into that. You look at his antics at media conferences, you look at things that he says in front of the Sky cameras, you see him dancing about trying to explain a handball that John Souter had given or not given against Hibs. I think the guy's a clown. He's turned into an absolute clown. And I think he's now speaking, the way that he's speaking right now says to me he's desperate. He knows his time is nearly up, and it will be up if they lose to Aberdeen. I think the Rangers do have a good squad. See, when you look at that squad on paper, when they're all fully fit, that's a decent enough squad to finish second comfortably, get nowhere near Celtic. They're not title challengers, but for a club the size of Rangers and the money that they spend, yep, they should not be 6 points behind Aberdeen.
It shouldn't even be
close.
Close.
It shouldn't be close. It's him. He's the problem there. And I think,
just to sort of counter that, not that I disagree with you here, but just to play devil's advocate for a wee second, it seems like every October, November time, Rangers go into let's sack the manager mode. And it's clearly not worked with their previous two decisions. So what would make it any different if they sacked Clement? Wouldn't they be just as well, giving them a wee bit of time, seeing if it works? Because that seems to be the chat from the...
But this is not just this season.
No, I get that. Like, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I actually agree with you, but I'm just putting a counter-argument.
It's a good point.
They've sacked Michael Beale, who was, you know, disaster. They sacked Van Bronckhorst, which, you know, I thought was a bit harsh, especially given he was a club legend as well.
Oh, no, you said at the time. You said it was harsh.
I thought it was the wrong decision. To be fair, let's not rewrite history here. There was a lot of pressure on Van Bronckhorst from the fans as well. The fans were not happy with Van Bronckhorst because he was so far behind Celtic.
And the fans were happy to see him go.
Exactly.
The majority were happy to see him go.
So let's not rewrite history here. So there was a lot of pressure on Van Bronckhorst, but every single October, November time, Rangers sacked their manager, and it's not worked. The last, now going to be three, because I think Clement's done. I can't see him turning this round.
Even if they beat Aberdeen at Pittodrie, he's not going to survive the season. I just don't see it.
Well, precisely. Yeah, exactly. Right. So he's done.
So my point...
So he's going to go eventually, but...
So we'll get rid of him now and try and save your season. Say Clement was Stephen Naismith, and Stephen Naismith was saying the things that he's saying as a Hearts manager.
Mm-hmm.
You want him gone. You want him gone.
Yeah, it's embarrassing,
Stephen.
I'm actually not personally disagreeing with you. I don't agree with you.
He thinks we're all idiots. All of us watching the football.
You think he's treating the Rangers fans like idiots?
Aye. Because we can all see it. That crap that I just read out to you. What are you talking about? Now, as I said, if what you say is true and that this squad is actually a good squad of players, then you're the problem. And if you're the problem, and if there's a problem within your club, you get rid of it. And I think that Rangers do have a good squad. I like Barami. I like Diamandé. I think Conor Barron's a great wee player. I think Souter is a decent centre-half.
Butland's a great goalkeeper. I know what you're saying, right, in terms of all these players. But again, to counter that...
And these changes is substitutions.
See these players that you... All those players that you've just mentioned. They are decent players, absolutely no doubt. Are they winning Rangers a league title?
That's what I just said though, Stephen. This is not about winning a league title.
But for Rangers fans, it is about winning a league title.
I know, but as it stands right now, they're not ready or close enough to win a league title.
Surely that's what Clement's saying though. He's saying this squad has got potential. Give me a wee bit of time and then in time, they will be ready to win a league title. Again, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I get what you're saying. And again, it's another really good point. But the performances are shocking. They're poor. They're awful. That yesterday was embarrassing. I saw the stuff on Twitter and I went on the forums and had a look as well. They've had enough. I think they did give Clement the benefit of the doubt at the tail end of last season. They gave him the benefit of the doubt for the first half of this season. But I think that was it for them yesterday. I think that's the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't think Clermont survives much longer. He's going to have to go and win on Saturday, and I think they're playing St Mirren at home. Ibrox?
Yeah, they play. They do play Steaua Bucharest on Thursday and
then Sunday.
Europa League, then Sunday they play St Mirren.
And where's Bucharest about?
Ibrox.
It's Ibrox. So they're lucky they've got the home game, and then they've got... It's a tricky game that against St Mirren, who are smarting after that result against Hearts. So they've got that on the Sunday, and then they've got Pittodrie on the Wednesday. I think this is the
Then it's the semi-final against Motherwell.
I think this is the biggest 10 days in Jeremy Clermont's Rangers career.
Jeremy Clermont?
Oh.
Philippe Clermont.
Jeremy Clermont, not a player that played with Rangers at some point?
He was a central midfielder who they signed for PSG.
That's right. Who was meant to be the next big thing and turned out to be a pile of shite.
He was a Le Guin signing, I'm sure.
He was a Le Guin signing. Did he also not... I can't... Anyway, it doesn't matter. So I think this is the biggest 10 days in Philippe Clermont's Rangers career.
What happens if he wins all four? And he
buys himself time.
So they beat Steaua Bucharest, they beat St Mirren, they beat Aberdeen, and then they get into the final against Motherwell. What are you saying then?
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. He's bought himself time. What I'm saying is he gets fired if he loses to Aberdeen. Doesn't matter what he does against St Mirren. Doesn't matter what he does against Steaua Bucharest.
If they get beat against St Mirren, I don't think he's probably seen Aberdeen
game. But I think they beat St Mirren. I think they beat St Mirren at Ibrox. So let's just say they beat Steaua Bucharest, that they beat St Mirren, and then they get beat by Aberdeen and they find themselves potentially 9 points behind, because we're assuming that Aberdeen are going to beat Dundee United at Pittodrie. So let's assume all that happens. It doesn't matter what happens against St Mirren. It doesn't matter what happens against Steaua Bucharest. If they go into that game at Pittodrie on a Wednesday night and they lose, Clermont will be out of a job before the Motherwell semi-final.
And who'll be the next Rangers manager?
Muscat, who they should have got first time round.
You think?
Muscat should have been the boy they appointed. They picked the wrong boy. They picked the wrong manager. I said it at the time, and I'm saying it again, Kevin Muscat should have been appointed the Rangers manager. They got it wrong. I don't know why they got it wrong or what it was about Clermont, but the board at Rangers have made so many mistakes. I don't even know who's running that club just now.
Well, it's embarrassing. Well, nobody.
And it makes it even worse for the Rangers fans. And I do feel kind of sorry for them, because it's just one disaster after another.
So Kevin Muscat,
boardroom level, the playing side of it, their signing policy, their recruitment, everything that could go wrong with a football club has gone wrong for the Rangers fans, and they're the ones that are there every day of the week, every year. These arseholes come and go. They deserve better. They really do. And I think every football fan deserves better. But I think that Rangers and the way that club's been run right now is shambolic.
So Kevin Muscat is the manager of Shanghai Port in China. He's been there since last December. And
it's a new job, wasn't it? It's a new job.
And they are the champions of China.
Where was he before that?
He was at Yokohama.
That's right. And he did a great job there as well.
And he won the title there.
Didn't Ange come from that side of the world before he got the Celtic job?
Yeah, Ange did.
Yeah, and he came with a great track record.
No, I'm not saying this to dismiss Kevin Muscat at all. What I was going to say is he won't be cheap. Because obviously they have a lot of money, and he'll be getting paid a lot of money 100%. As well to be there.
But when he was at Yokohama,
I don't think they need to look that far. All they need to do is look who was beside them in the dugout yesterday and appoint Derek McInnes. I think it's an absolute no-brainer. I can't see...
Do you think he'd do it this time?
Possibly.
Would the Rangers fans welcome him because he knocked them back the first time?
I think it's an absolute no-brainer.
Never even thought of that. But I think they made a mistake by not getting Muscat, because they...
I don't think they're going to get him now unless something... I don't know how Shanghai Port are getting on, to be perfectly honest with you.
But the job that he did in the same league that Ange was in with Yokohama, I am gobsmacked that Rangers went with Philippe Clermont. I have no idea why they went with him. Muscat was the man, always was the man. I actually said to you that Muscat should be the man, and they went with Clermont, and I think, they've made a mistake. But there again, the Rangers fans will be well aware of the board are very good at making mistakes.
Shanghai Port are a point off the top of the table. They're a point behind their fellow Shanghai Shenzhen.
And the reason that he's like, moved to...
Like Shanghai Derby coming up.
Again, successful manager who plays forward-thinking football. Right. And, yeah, well, anyway, time will tell.
Time will tell whether that's even a discussion. Anyway, I've just thrown that in there. Let's go down into the Championship then. Fortunate Falkirk getting 3 points on Friday night against Hamilton. 3-1 it finished. I say fortunate, an own goal, a deflected goal for the second goal, and then obviously a really soft penalty. Missed the penalty. Falstaff, Falkirk player, really fortunately, and they knock it in.
So are fortunate Falkirk just fortunate against Hamilton to stay top of the league?
Oh no.
Or have they been fortunate Falkirk all season?
They've been the most fortunate team this season. That's why
they're the most
league.
Fortunate team all season.
Of course they are.
They're
yeah.
carrying luck in every game they play.
Listen, and I'm very much a subscriber of you make your own luck, right? Absolutely. But see, when things are going well for you, you get a lot of luck. The year Dunfermline won the title against Falkirk, we got loads of luck that season. It happens. There's nothing wrong. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, is what I'm saying.
You're saying they're not good?
I don't think they're very good, no.
You don't think Falkirk are that good?
No. I think it's a really poor division. I think it's a really poor division. So I think Fortunate Falkirk.
Yeah, I think you need to stop calling them Fortunate Falkirk.
Why is that?
I just think you do. Look, they've come up from League One. We're more or less the same team.
No, they've come in with loads of momentum. I totally get that.
Right.
Like Friday night was a perfect example. Everything fell for them. An own goal, deflections, missed penalties, but it still goes in.
They might have carried a bit of luck against Hamilton, but they've not been fortunate all season. And for you to continually label them as fortunate Falkirk. We had Cole Donaldson, the Falkirk captain, in the studio with us on Saturday for the big Saturday football show. Mm-hmm. And he says, yeah, you need a bit of luck from time to time.
He agreed with me. Fortunate Falkirk.
No, he didn't agree with you, Stephen.
And it's really glad that the club captain came out
and the club
that.
Captain's going to use your pish chat to speak to the players ahead of playing your mob at the weekend.
It's Falkirk versus Dunfermline on Saturday, yeah. And listen, I fully expect Falkirk to win because they're carrying a lot of good fortune.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I do. We're just not getting the breaks at the moment, and Falkirk are getting all the breaks.
I hope they stuff you 5-0.
They possibly will.
And producer John will be back next week as well.
With his happy fantastic.
Dance. He'll have a happy dance for you next week because I hope they go out and they absolutely obliterate you.
I mean,
I do think,
I said it before earlier on, if Falkirk don't beat us on Saturday, it will be embarrassing for them.
Go and take your Dunfermline head off for a second. I'm just going to ask you a straightforward question. It's either aye or no.
Yeah.
Will Falkirk win the league?
No.
Will they get in the playoffs?
Maybe.
You're not even sure they'll get in the playoffs?
No, because eventually luck runs out. So good fortune runs out eventually. And we'll see. I reckon they'll probably finish about seventh or so. Sorry, I can keep that up there. No, I think they'll probably be in the playoffs.
Okay.
I don't think they'll win the league. The reason I think they don't win the league is because I think Livingston are going to win the league.
Okay.
Genuinely. They go to Ayr United, win on Saturday, 2-1. They've kept the basis of their team that got relegated last season. Funny you don't hear David Martindale moaning about budgets this season. Because he moaned quite a lot about it last year, and then it's not really been mentioned this season at all about budgets. And I think that's because Livingston
he's been pretty quiet this year.
Have a very healthy one, which is fine. And he's obviously spent it very well. So, winning against Ayr United on Saturday, Livingston closing the gap at the top to Fortunate Falkirk. Dunfermline 0-0, finally keeping a clean sheet.
Woo!
Against Morton, and as I mentioned, Falkirk on Saturday. And that means that Dunfermline just hovering above.
What is the bottom of the table looking like there in the Championship?
Shite. Airdrie are a point behind Dunfermline at the bottom of the table because Partick Thistle beat them 2-1 on Saturday. Brian Graham getting a couple of goals there. And Airdrie having a bit of a nightmare this season. Raith Rovers also not having a good season. 1-1 against Queen's Park on Saturday. And Dylan Easton getting sent off in stoppage time as well. So he'll be a miss.
All these results are helping Falkirk.
Livingston have a game.
I mean, like Wraith, Livingston, Air, all that.
Wraith have had their season, so Wraith
are done.
Livingston obviously playing Air. I mean, Wraith are only 2 points above Dunfermline. So, I mean,
you don't see them getting the playoffs.
Well, they could get in the playoffs.
What's the gap between the bottom and the playoff positions?
Dunfermline are 9 points off the playoffs. So, like, yeah, that's quite a lot. But come the end of the season. It's usually all very tight. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't rule anyone out. I wouldn't rule out Airdrie making the playoffs because, you know, they could go on a mental run.
Yeah.
You can't rule out anyone making the playoffs. But, I mean, Wraith are obviously getting nowhere. I mean, Wraith Rovers are, 15 points off Falkirk. and Dunfermline are 17 points off Falkirk. So we're not winning the league.
No, no. But fourth spot is still a target.
Absolutely. I think because the division's so tight and there's not actually a lot between the teams, anyone can beat anyone. And I do genuinely believe that. But I do think Livingston have got a game in hand. If they win that, it's against Dunfermline, so they probably will. There'll be a point behind Falkirk. And I think that's... I think Livingston are still unbeaten. 1-5, drawn 4, only conceded 4 goals this season. This is what we always say about the championship.
Paul said that to us at the weekend, didn't
he? If you don't concede goals, you obviously don't lose matches, and Livingston are mean defensively, so I think they won't be far away. Queen's Park obviously having a pretty decent season as well, up in 4th under Callum Davidson. Right then, let's move down to League 1. Arbroath 1, Dumbarton 3. Their problems continue. I think that's Dumbarton's... I think it's their first win in the season, to be perfectly honest with you. Elsewhere, Cove Rangers beating Queen of the South by 2-0. Stennismuir losing to Alloa by 0-0. Inverness winning despite all their financial administration chat against Annan Athletic, and Celtic Hearts lost at home to Montrose this season. And I don't actually have the League 2 results, so I'm going to have to try and do them off memory, right?
League 2?
I don't have the League 2 results. They're not in my prep.
Did producer Chris not give you them?
No, I didn't give me them.
So, producer Chris, what have you got against League 2?
What you got against League 2, Chris? What's happening?
Absolutely nothing. I apologise.
No.
Right, you'll not be getting this gig again, mate.
No, exactly. East Fife drew at the weekend. Elgin City won. I knew that because I had them on my coupon. They won 3-1. Bonnyrigg Rose won because we had them on our Saturday predictor thing. They won.
They did win.
Who else?
Who are we missing?
Forfar.
You've got 6 teams there. Where's the other 4?
Right. Forfar, I think, maybe drew with Clyde. Producer Chris, you could make yourself useful here by
checking for us.
I think Forfar maybe drew with Clyde.
I'm having a wee look, but the SPFL website doesn't seem to be wanting to work for me, so just
okay.
Why does that not surprise me? Go to the BBC.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, if you... I've typed in Scottish League 2, so I've got the results. East Fife drew with Forfar. Stirling Albion beat Clyde. Stranraer drew with Peterhead. Elgin City beat Spartans, as I mentioned. Bonnyrigg beat Edinburgh City as well. So that is you right up to date with everything that's happening. Let's move on to VAR, WTF, shall we please?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, lots and lots to get through at the weekend. Let's start with Celtic versus Aberdeen. So, 2 late winners denied for each side. First of all, it was... Duke knocking the ball into the net with his hand.
Yeah, he flicks it.
Flicks it with his hand. So
great decision from VAR.
Yep.
If VAR's not there, the referee doesn't see it, that would have stood as a goal.
Yeah.
And that would have been wrong.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Good decision, well spotted by VAR.
Celtic getting one denied as well. First of all, it was Adam Ida who'd sort of fouled it. I don't think there was any sort of doubt about that.
The goalkeeper.
Yeah, the goalkeeper.
So
there's nothing looking there. But obviously the big talking point was Duke on the line. I have watched numerous angles of
it's this. It's a knee.
And I think it hits his knee and then comes up and hits somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's not a penalty.
No, it's not a penalty. And he celebrated that as if he just scored the winning goal in a World Cup final.
Yeah.
Brilliant scenes. Great to see.
So I think I actually read Bobby Madden on social media. He sort of cleared this up because the ball went out for a corner and then they checked it on VAR and then it was not given and then they blew for full time.
Aye.
So there's a lot of Celtic fans unhappy with that. But I think ultimately it was the correct decision.
And most Celtic fans I read at the weekend didn't believe it was a penalty either. So I thought VAR worked perfectly in that game against Celtic. Wee bit of drama, wee bit of controversy. It had everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thought the rest had a good game.
Let's move on to Hibs and their game against Dundee United. Joe Newell, two yellow cards, I should say.
I'm not so sure about the first yellow. If I'm going to be honest, the first yellow
if you're on...
It doesn't make contact.
If you're on...
No, this was the first one.
Yeah.
But the second one...
That's what I'm saying. If you're on a yellow,
Why'd you make that challenge?
It's like what we said about George Grant a couple of weeks ago against.
Good point,
Aberdeen. Yeah. You're already like.
Why are you doing that?
What are you doing?
Why are you leaving your foot in? The first one.
I thought they were both a bit harsh, but.
Yeah, I thought the first one was more harsh than the second. But then, why'd you make that challenge for the second one when you're on a yellow?
Yeah, exactly.
Gavin Pearson, who works here as a Hibs man, was sending me screenshots of like the challenge.
You know, Newell gets the ball first, but it's almost irrelevant nowadays.
He's followed through.
Yeah.
And once you follow through and you've hit the top of the ankle, it's going to be a sending off.
Yeah, absolutely. So you think they got that one right? All happy
I think
there?
They did just.
What else did we have at the weekend? Obviously, Ross County getting a couple of men sent off as well. Any complaints about
that? No complaints whatsoever. Nothing was. The first yellow card, again, second one, what is he thinking? So soon after getting his first yellow card. Stamps on the boy's foot when he puts it past him. It was an easy yellow to give. I thought the first one was, he didn't need to give it, but he did. So yeah, silly second chance, gets him sent off.
Anything else you'd like to go through? Are you happy with that? Happy to leave it
again,
there?
I thought the rest more or less had a good game across the board.
Okie dokie.
All fine. Good.
We'll leave it there then. And this is the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Told you.
With Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, overrated, underrated. Each week, myself or Ewan bring something that is overrated or underrated. You can cast your vote. Last week, Ewan suggested that new Aberdeen boss, Jimmy Tolino, was overrated.
No. No, I said, is he overrated? I never said he was. I asked,
no, but
is
you asked the question, is he overrated?
Yeah, but you never said, and I'm not asking he was, I'm asking if he is. There's a difference between was and is.
Liam says, think he's rated where he should be just now. Don't buy into the not played anyone yet stuff either. This was obviously before Saturday. It went up to Dingwall and won, and they didn't even play that great there, so that's a sign of a good team. John's saying, that cannot be decided until the season is over. So there's no point in having this discussion.
But he's been talked about in great terms. Mm-hmm. That's why we're asking the question.
Okay, so Twitter has spoken. At Big Football Scott, remember, if you want to follow us, have your say on anything in the podcast, you can leave your comments on YouTube as well. Can I have a drum roll, please? Producer Chris, if you could find that, that'd be great. 59.1%. Disagreed that Jimmy Tolino was overrated.
Disagreed?
Yes, exactly. Fanfare, please, producer Chris.
Disagreed.
Wins. Okay. So there we are.
I've got one. When it comes to underrated, overrated. Producer Chris.
Hello.
You're going to have to use a beat machine for this, mate.
All righty.
So where's the best way for me to go? That way.
I don't know what that is.
I think it's underrated.
You think it's underrated?
It's underrated. It's, if you can do it. Oh, wow.
Well, I saw you limbering up earlier on, so I don't...
I'll show you.
I don't suspect.
I'm going to show you.
You would be, right. Hey,
no, just show me.
Yeah, it does. Ah, you can. You can.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah?
The weekend...
That's underrated, you said.
That's underrated.
Right.
Because I don't think many people know about that. You're thinking about it now, aren't you? How it's possible.
Yeah. Anyway... Fine. Make sure you bleep that out, producer Chris. So anyway, my turn to nominate something. Underrated, overrated.
Would I be able to post that picture on social?
No, you wouldn't.
No,
you wouldn't.
Can I just say that picture's not me and my wife?
No, it didn't look like you and your wife.
No. It looks like we'd be like you and...
No, it's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a cartoon.
Just... I don't know what to do anymore.
It came from an educational book.
It looks like an educational book.
It was. Yeah. But you didn't know anything about that, did you?
No. I didn't. I mean, I still don't know how that works, to be honest with you.
Do you want me...
No, I don't want you to do
to
anything.
To put in a WhatsApp group?
No, I don't.
Okay. What do you want to nominate this week?
Okay.
Do you go home and talk to your missus about this?
No, I don't. I don't.
Do you send her the things I send you?
No.
Do you want me to send it to her?
No. That'd be really weird. That'd be really weird and really inappropriate.
Would it?
Yes, it would.
Would it?
Yes, it would. Imagine if I sent that to your wife.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
No, exactly. That'd be really weird and inappropriate. Just like telling Mark Wilson's missus that you love her. That was weird.
Yeah, but I love everybody. I love you.
Great.
Is that weird? I love you. Weird. I love your missus as well. She's lovely.
Great.
Right. Do you know what you're doing?
No. I'm trying to think just now.
What were you going to nominate? You're going to nominate
I wasn't going to nominate.
Have I flung you with that picture?
Yeah, you've thrown me.
Thrown me.
I don't... I mean, what I was going to go for was something that was not football related.
That's fine. Go and do that.
Okay.
It doesn't always have to be football related.
Okay.
Go on.
And this is going to be a controversial one.
Oh, here we go. Is it something to do with chippies?
It is.
Thought so.
Fish suppers
are shite.
Are overrated.
Oh!
They just are.
Oh, that's a good one.
Fish suppers are overrated.
That's a good one. When it comes to the chippy, mm-hmm. The fish supper's overrated.
They're not the best thing for a chippy.
That's a cracker. I think it's a really good question.
Fish suppers are overrated.
I'm not sure I know
particularly when you get shite fish. Because what they do is now, apparently, my mum was telling me this at the weekend, there's a law that they need to say whether it's cod or haddock, or if it's just fish, then it will just be any old shite, basically.
So they have to tell you what it is.
So if it's a haddock and chips or a cod and chips, they have to say haddock or cod. If they just say fish, then it could be anything.
God, yeah. See, cod for
pollock.
Me is... A cod for me is a juicier fish
mm-hmm.
to the haddock. The white, fluffy bits are better.
I think I've had more shite fish suppers...
Than bad fish suppers.
Than good fish suppers.
Sort of than good fish suppers.
So that's I think, really therefore... Over the piece, fish suppers are overrated. There you are. Come at me. At Big Football Scott on Twitter, on Facebook and Instagram as well. And remember, you can see our faces on Super Scoreboard's YouTube channel. Remember, subscribe and you'll get all the Super Scoreboard videos and the live shows as well every single night from 6 p.m. Across Glasgow in the West on Clyde One, of course, on FM. And we are on every single Saturday with the Big Saturday Football Show on 4th One, TFM, MFR and North Sound One. Keep you up to date with everything Scottish football with former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan. Right, let's try and unveil our masked footballer, shall we? So, we now know that this player hasn't played for either Celtic or Rangers, but has been capped at international level for the Republic of Ireland.
Yes.
We know that now.
I'm getting so many people messaging me about this.
So, Mark says, I think the masked footballer might be Jamie McGrath. He plays for Ireland, has never played for Celtic or Rangers. Simon says, the masked footballer is Conor Salmon. He plays with Alloa, played with the Republic, and stays in Larbert, which is local to producer John. See if it's Conor Salmon on the basis of that. I'll be furious again. Like, producer John just being extremely lazy.
Conor Salmon's a great shout.
Yeah, I mean, do we know whether this player is still playing? Is that something we've asked?
No, I don't think we have asked. Is Conor Salmon still playing?
He plays with Alloa, yeah. I don't know if he still plays.
Is that where we're going to go with this?
I mean, I'm happy to go with that. Like, we can narrow it down. Like, do you play in the lower leagues in Scotland, I think?
Right, hold on a wee second.
Because I don't think it's Jamie McGrath. I don't think it's Jamie McGrath.
Hold on a wee second. Somebody just sent me something here.
Right, okay. Is it to do with what you were talking about and overrated, underrated?
Somebody else has put forward. Mike 8 has put forward Conor Salmon as well. So there's another one who thinks Conor Salmon.
So do we go with, are you still playing in the lower leagues in Scottish football? Because if it's a yes, then obviously that narrows it down.
That does narrow it down.
And then...
If it's a no,
it means that they're playing in the Scottish Premiership or... Retired. Right.
So what's the best way to get as much information... What's the best question to get as much information as we can?
I don't know.
Yeah. Do we believe that this person is still playing? Do you think...
I think probably.
Well, then I think we find that out. And I think what you do is you do what you've just said you're going to do then.
Okay, right.
The lower leagues.
I'm ready for my question and a yes-no answer, please. Is this player still playing in the lower leagues in Scotland, i.e. Championship through to League Two?
Yes.
Okay, right.
Is it Conor Salmon?
See if this is Conor Salmon. Producer John being the laziest person in the world. So we know that this should be fairly easy to work out now.
Aye.
This person has been capped for the Republic of Ireland.
Yes.
And they play in either the Championship, League One or League Two.
Yep.
There can't be many of them. So, at Big Football, Scott, get your guesses in. I think next week we're going to hit home in on it and we can absolutely spear producer John again, which is
always good. Well, I've got this one quicker than the first one. That's how bad this is.
I know, exactly.
We were expecting this to go on for like 6 months. It's fucking got two in the first 3 months of the season.
I know. Oh, well. At Big Football, Scott, and leave your comments on YouTube. Right, we are just going to go straight for the quiz here.
Yes, let's do it.
It's time for our shootout quiz, everyone. So here we go. Let's have the theme tune, please. It's basically like a penalty shootout. And each of us are going to get five questions, or we'll get five questions, and then we will write the answers down on a sheet of paper. We get the same questions. We've got a topping question that's worth two. I think it's what, like 9-1 to me or something like that so far this season. So it's something like
8 or 9-1.
Yeah, 12-1, I think it is to me this season.
8 or 9-1.
We've got the hostess with the mostess, which is this week, producer Chris. How are you doing, producer Chris?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yes, very well.
Who did the questions?
It was me.
You did the five questions.
Yeah, I did.
And you also did the top bin questions.
Yes, I did.
And you also have, if we need it, the break. What do you call it?
Tiebreaker
questions.
Okay, let's do it then, mate. I'm ready to go.
I am ready to go as well. Let's go with the shootout quiz, please. Question number one.
Okay. Question number one. A statue was unveiled outside of Ibrox this summer of which footballing figure?
30 seconds on the clock, please. Not that we need it.
No, we've got it. Don't need it.
We both got it?
I think so.
All right.
Don't put doubts in my head. I think I got it. I went with Walter Smith.
Are you serious?
It is Walter Smith, isn't it?
It is Walter Smith, I think, yeah.
Get in.
Okie dokie. 1-1. Question number two, let's go.
Question number two is, there have been three Colombian players in the Scottish Premiership. Two have played for Rangers, but which other club did the other, Christian Montano, play for? There have been three Colombians to play in the Scottish Premiership. Two have played for Rangers, but which other club did Christian Montano play for?
I've got it. Put a timer on. Put a timer on! I've got it. You struggling here?
Yeah.
Really? Get in. I'm about to go 1-0 up here.
Right. Okay, I've got my answer.
Got it. Okie dokie. What is your answer?
Hibs.
It was Livingston.
Oh, shit.
It's Livingston.
So for Ewan.
Ewan goes 2-1 in front then.
Get it!
Right.
All right. Question number three.
Go on.
I am the tiger!
Former Wolves leads Lech Poznan and Queen's Park defender Barry Douglas is reportedly on trial with which Scottish Premiership side?
Barry Douglas is on trial with a Premiership club?
He is.
Right now?
He is. Reportedly.
I've not heard about this.
This
I
was
like
in
Barry
the news
Douglas, he's a good player.
Over the weekend.
Won't be Hearts. It has to be. Have you heard about this, Stephen?
Nope.
I mean, as long as we're both struggling. So this is just potluck, really. Fuck knows, man. I'm going to go with that.
Have we both got an answer?
Wait. Right, I've got an answer, but again, it's just potluck.
Right, you go first then.
Right, you turn that timer off now. I'm going to go with St Johnston. I think St Johnston are the club.
I've gone with St Johnston as well.
Have you?
Yes.
Brilliant. That's good for me. Oh, that is as well. Oh, my God.
You're both correct.
Is it St Johnston?
Right, 3-2 to Ewan. Producer Chris, I want to go for my top bin question here, please.
Okie dokie.
Why are you taking it so early?
because I want to put the pressure on you. 2 points for this one if I get it right, and then I'll go in front of Ewan, and Ewan will have his normal fourth question to equalise. No. So I'll go for my top end question here, please.
Okie dokie.
Shit.
So, Stephen, your top end question is, Real Madrid beat Bayer Leverkusen 2-1 in the 2002 Champions League final at Hampden. But who did Bayer Leverkusen beat in the semi-final?
Oh, he's writing an answer straight away. I can't... That...
I've got my answer, producer Chris, and I'll take my 2 points because the answer is Manchester United. Man United. So that's me. That's me 4-3 in front. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer missed an absolute sitter with a few minutes to go.
Shut up.
And Roy Keane goes on about it all the time.
Shut up.
I was reading about it earlier on this week.
Oh, I was reading about it earlier this week. I need my normal question to go 4-4. I can't believe I feel the pressure already, and I was fucking 3-2 up just a minute ago.
And also, there was a big thing about Fergie coming back to Hampden to be in a European Cup final, and it didn't happen, obviously. So,
yeah. That's not even a top bin question.
I think that's quite specific. Oh, it's just because I'm well read. Anyway, right, this is your fourth question. Remember, you need to get this right to equalise.
You're
now behind me.
I know. Stop it.
So just the normal question, right. Please.
Can you just turn your ears off and just let me listen?
Turn my ears off.
Turn everything off because I don't want shouting and talking during my question.
Ewan, we're trying to go on by a quiz here. Right. Question number four.
All right, so this is going to be to the nearest 10, Ewan. Okay.
This was a normal question.
This is a normal question.
To the nearest 10.
To the nearest 10.
And it's a normal question.
And it's a normal question.
And he gets to ask who was played in the semi-finals of a Champions League in 2002. And you think this, what you're about to ask me, is a normal question.
For a start. Fuck.
Right, go.
Right. Aidan McGeady retired last week. To the nearest 10, how many appearances did he make for Celtic?
That's pretty easy. Pretty straightforward, I'd say. I would say that's pretty straightforward. Come on, timer. Here we go. Need the timer on now. That's on. Whoa!
I'm nearly. Do you know what?
Whoa! That's a really
Shut up.
How can you not know that? It's really straightforward.
I play FIFA on the PlayStation.
Right.
And when I think somebody's at it, I'll just quit the game.
Right. But I'll just quit the game halfway through. I think that's a really fair question.
No, it's not.
That's a
top bin question. I have been done. Absolutely done. After leading by 3 points to 2, I find myself 4-3 behind.
Get an answer down. You might get it right. No, you're doing a wee bit of folk out the day because you guessed St Johnstone earlier on and that was lucky and you got that one right, so you might get lucky again. I mean, you should know this, really.
How? Why would I know this?
Just think how many times Aidan McGeady played with Celtic. And try and get within the nearest 10.
What, you're not doing what you think the answer
is. I don't need to. It's not my answer.
This is never a normal question, Chris.
It is a normal question. It's a perfectly normal question. I'll write something down.
I've written something down.
Okay. Right, you need to show your answer.
But I don't need to show. I'll just shout it out because it's my question. You don't need fucking play, do you?
Right, okay. No, you are right there. That's fine. Okay, what did you go for?
I went 250.
Right, I've gone for 110. Just for a wee laugh, because I don't need to get this question right, because I got my question right before, so I'm actually in front.
Okay, so for this, this is for Ewan to go 4 each, isn't it?
This is to go 4 each.
Okay, Ewan?
250, did you say?
Yeah.
250? Aidan McGeady made 252 appearances for Celtic.
It's an easy question.
How you've managed that, I have no idea.
Told you it was an easy question. What you see?
My God.
Look at you, all embarrassed now, pretending that you didn't know the answer.
Oh my God, what's going on?
So it's all come down to the final question.
Wait, can I just point out, for the first time ever, I've gone 4 out of 4.
Yeah.
I've gone 4 out of 4.
Yeah, you have. That's really good.
Oh my God.
I mean, I liked all this, what a ridiculous question this is.
Hey,
stupid question.
Shut up.
And then you get it within 2.
Shut
as
up.
If you didn't know anyway.
I didn't. I'd love to say I
Very
knew that.
Good.
I'd love to say that I was knowledgeable and just play like I knew it. But I'm going to, again, because I'm an honest guy, that was me just having a guess. I nearly put 300. I thought, no, I'll just take 50 off that.
And I get chewed out for nothing.
I know, exactly.
Apologise
to producer Chris.
No, I'm not.
Apologise.
No, because there's still a
apologise to Chris.
No, because I think that was a top bin question. Right, move on to question number 5. I'm not going for my top... if I go top bin here, I win.
Mm-hmm.
If I go top bin and get it right, I win the quiz.
If you go top bin and get it wrong, though, I just need to get the question right and I've won.
Yeah.
So you've got...
Oh, the drama!
You've got a dilemma here, Ewan.
the drama. If I go top bin, I win the quiz. If I get it wrong, you need to get the normal question right to win it.
Yep.
And if you lose it, it goes to a tie break. So in some ways, I'm getting two bites at the cherry. So I'm going to go top bin.
Okay.
I'm going top bin to hopefully win the quiz. Go. Give me it.
Ewan, your top bin question is, which Scottish Premiership team's mascot is a superhero?
Timer, please.
It's a superhero.
Yeah. Which Scottish
Premiership club has a superhero as a mascot?
Yes.
I don't know the answer.
How long have I got?
40 seconds.
About 40 seconds, yeah.
Superhero. It's not Hearts, not Rangers, not Celtic. Who's Hibs? What's Hibs' mascot?
Burning Hero. Hibs Hero.
It's not Kilmarnock.
Okay.
How long have I got?
Got about 10 seconds.
Well, I don't need to write it down, I just need to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you need to give me an answer. Come on, Ewan.
Ross County.
The answer is St Johnson.
The Super Saint. Is it something like that?
The Super Saint, yeah.
Is
it St Johnston? Is it?
It's St Johnson.
Yeah. So
I was between those two as well.
That means I've got a normal question to win the quiz. So thanks very much, Ewan. Thank you. Worst comes to the worst, we're going to a tie. No, don't. We might go to a tie break. Steve, I've not got all my questions right today.
Stephen, I'm not going to a tie break. I'm going home.
Right. That's okay. Well, give me my question.
I'm going home.
All right, Stephen. Your normal question is: Sean Maloney currently manages which English League One side?
The answer is Wigan Athletic, Chris. Weather now. I think that's a correct answer, so that means I've won the quiz. So if I could hear the Champions League music, that would be fantastic. That was Ewan, Ewan clutching defeat from the jaws of victory there. So there we are. Where are my strings? Come on, Chris.
I'm actually still trying to find them.
Come on, find the strings. I'm now looking for the strings. Can't see the strings. I've not won the quiz unless I hear the strings. So where are they?
You don't need the strings.
I do need the strings. There we are. Thank you. We got there eventually. There's a lot of dust came up after. What were you doing there? Right, Ewan, are you a bit gutted with that there? Because you did really... You got 4 out of 4, and then you didn't even need to gamble. We would have been on a tie-break at this stage.
Hey, I know the answer, Wigan. And you, Wigan.
But I know. That's what I'm saying. But we would have been doing a tie-break just now, but instead you've actually lost the quiz, is what's happened.
Very good.
No, you have lost the quiz. Where are you going?
Why have you been a wanker?
I'm not being a wanker.
You are being a wanker.
Right, see you later, Ewan. Nice doing a podcast with you. Bye. See you next week. So there you go. That's it. 14-1, whatever it is. Anyway, lovely stuff. That is us for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you very much. We'll say cheerio. And yes, we'll be back next week for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. So remember, you can get in touch for overrated, underrated. Play the music, please, producer Chris. And yeah, we'll be back next week with more of the same, basically. Hopefully Ewan comes back. I mean, that's him stormed off again with the quiz, because that would be disappointing. If I was him, I'd have been disappointed in myself, let's be honest. But yeah, thank you very much for everyone who got in touch this week. Remember, you can leave your comments on our YouTube channel as well, and we'll read out the best of them next week. And of course, at Big Football Scott as well. That is our Twitter feed. You can give us a follow. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook as well. Always leave your comments there. And remember, fish suppers are overrated. You can have your say at Big Football Scott. You can get in touch there and leave your comments. We'll get to that next week, wherever you are across the country. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with another podcast. Bye-bye.